Will a popular tax deduction be limited to avoid the fiscal cliff?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As Congress tries to reach a deal to avoid the harsh package of spending cuts and tax increases, better known as the fiscal cliff, more and more lawmakers are saying the solution will have to be a less harsh package of both spending cuts and tax increases. And one of the increases being talked about is a cap on the mortgage interest deduction. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark reports.
Republican Senator John McCain, appearing on Fox News Sunday, says a budget deal should involve closing a lot of tax loopholes, and the home mortgage deduction is one of them.
A limit on the amount of deduction of charitable giving, a limit on the amount you can take on your home loan mortgage deduction. And obviously, we are going to have to look at entitlement reform.
But let's pause for a moment on that middle one about the mortgages. Millions of homeowners take advantage of the mortgage interest deduction. It lets you write off a percentage of the interest you pay on your home loan each month. And for the average homeowner, the savings that comes from that adds up to about $600 a year. If the deduction was eliminated entirely, it would add $94 billion to federal coffers next year. What's more likely to be discussed is some sort of cap on how much high-income households can deduct, leaving middle-class families untouched. The real estate industry warns any tweaks to the mortgage interest deduction could hurt the housing market, which has been showing signs of recovery lately. I'm Chrissy Clark from Marketplace.
President Obama has designated Elise Walter to chair the Securities and Exchange Commission, though it's not clear if she'll be the permanent replacement for outgoing chairwoman Mary Shapiro, who announced she was leaving yesterday. And the uncertainty could delay action on some financial reforms, as our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
If you thought lawmakers already took care of preventing another big meltdown, not exactly. Congress left many thorny details to the SEC to sort out, which is why advocacy groups say the future course of Wall Street's leading regulatory agency is so critical.
They have huge responsibilities writing the rules to respond to the financial crisis. The bulk of that is still unfinished.
Barbara Roper is Director of Investor Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. She says the outgoing SEC chairwoman had a tough enough time trying to break the logjam between three Democrats and two Republicans. The commission will be evenly split with Shapiro's departure.
It would seem that the best we can hope for is a stalemate.
At the advocacy group Better Markets, Dennis Kelleher says naming a permanent replacement should be a top priority for the Obama administration.
What we really need is a fresh face who is strong enough to lead that agency in a way that we haven't seen in decades, really.
Until then, he says, key financial reforms on such contentious issues as money market regulation and high-speed stock trading will likely remain on hold. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.3% in Tokyo, 0.4% in London, 0.5% in Frankfurt right now. Good news for Greece this morning. International creditors have reached a deal to cut Greece's debt burden and release more bailout money to the country. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 42 points to close at 12,967.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Well, it is the holiday season, which means we're all going to be spending a little more over the next month on food, on travel, and on gifts, of course. And holiday spending is today's Money Matters segment's topic, where we look at how the big economic stories of the day impact your wallet. Joining us to do that is Patty Hirsch, the senior producer of personal finance at Marketplace. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning to you.
So, Patty, as we go through this holiday shopping season and we have to buy a gift for Aunt Betsy and Cousin Rachel and whoever else, all these people, is there a strategic way to go about doing that so that you don't end up in the red at the end of the holiday season?
I mean, there are all sorts of things, all sorts of tricks that people have. But I would say that there are two key things that you have to do to make sure that you don't blow your budget. The first thing is have a budget. Make sure you have that budget and you stick to it. The second thing is do not shop for yourself. one of the biggest things that happens is that people go into the stores, they're buying for Aunt Betsy, whoever it is, and they actually end up getting themselves a hideous sweater.
I have to say I'm guilty of that.
All right, there you go. So don't do it. If you don't shop for yourself, if you refuse to break your budget, you're going to be in much better shape come the end of the season.
Why can't you shop for yourself?
Because, you know, you want to treat yourself. You're like, oh, my feet are so sore. I've been shopping for 12 hours straight. I deserve something. And, you know, and instead of just buying yourself a beer or whatever it is or a nice cup of coffee, you go and you buy that hideous sweater.
Okay. Well, what about holiday travel, though, Patty? We all have to spend money to travel during the holiday season if family or loved ones are not right in the same place that we are. But the tickets are outrageous this year. They're so expensive.
Yeah, you know, airlines have at last worked out how to run their businesses properly. You know, they've understood how they can actually fill their planes so they're not flying with half-empty planes all the time. And that means that seats become more expensive. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get a cheap seat. There are cheap seats available. You can get these things through internet deals. You can have sort of, you can be on mailing lists for airlines that are selling seats cheaply when they are. But I think that the best thing to do whenever you're actually shopping around is to really shop around, not just from airline to airline when you're trying to get from A to B, but also when it comes to the fees. You know, we know that these airlines are really jacking up the fees, whether it be for baggage or for, you know, pillows or blankets or whatever.
Yeah.
But also for landing sites. So, you know, a lot of the time there are different airports in those metro areas that have real variance in the fees that the landing fees that they charge. So look very, very carefully at the fees you're paying from airline to airline and from carrier to carrier.
Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer of Personal Finance at Marketplace. Thanks, Patty.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And while we're talking holiday spending, there's some new research in the Journal of Retailing on just how smells impact shoppers. Like when you walk into a department store and it smells like pine needles or baked cookies or perfume. Well, researchers say that in one experiment, shoppers who were exposed to an orange scent spent 20% more money than shoppers who got an aroma of orange basil blended with green tea. Researchers say that means when the scent is simple, the customer's mind is freed up to focus on shopping. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.